Our next speaker is Julia W., a member of Alcoholics Anonymous from Lompoc.
Hey everyone, my name is Julia and I'm an alcoholic. I set a timer. And I just want to ask God to guide my words. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak today, to share my experience, strength, and hope. So then you wonder, if you only have 15 minutes to talk to people, what am I going to say? So I'll start with my sobriety date is March 19th, 2019. I made it to 6 years of sobriety on March 19th of this year. I have a sponsor in Lompoc and my home group in Lompoc.
Bingo.
Yeah, the bingo Wednesday night book study where I have a commitment. I'm the reader there. I have three sponsees. Two of them are in Connecticut. And I want to say that because I'm actually originally from the East Coast. I'm from New York City, and then I moved to Connecticut. I got sober in Connecticut, and I moved here after COVID hit. So my sponsees, I met, excuse me, online in Zoom meetings. They were from the area where I got sober, even though I didn't meet them when I lived there. And the reason I say that is because I've never met them. And I am their sponsor, and we talk all the time, and we work the steps. So if anybody says that there's any excuse whatsoever to work the steps, there is no excuse whatsoever. We don't need to be in the same town, we don't need to be in the same room, we don't need to be in the same state. We don't need to be on the same coast. If you want to get sober, you do what you gotta do. So I gotta say that when I first started to coming to the to AA, I was off put by how friendly everybody was. Okay. I feel like that's important to share because sometimes I feel like, you know, I hear how people feel like, oh, I was in an AA meeting and I felt loved and I felt at home for the very first time. And it was like, I felt completely overwhelmed. Like, you people don't know me. You don't know nothing that I've been through. Why is everybody all touchy-feely? And can I have your phone number? And can I have a hug? And can we hang out? And can you call me? Like, can we not? Like, what is that? That was hard because, you know, that's another thing, let go or be dragged. There was so much that I just needed to let go. I needed to kind of let the program help me. You know, they used to say, Julia, let us love you until you learn to love yourself. You know, and it's like there's a part of you that wants to trust what they're saying, but then the other part of you is like, I don't know, I don't like it. I don't like it. The other thing was, you guys claim to be alcoholics, but nobody was drinking. So in my mind, that's like, you know, you don't understand me. You people are not like me. You can't sit here and tell me that you have the same problem that I have if you're not drinking, because I'm telling you I can't stop. And you're sitting here with your clear eyes telling me, yeah, you know, there's freedom from alcoholism. So I didn't understand that. How can you be an alcoholic and not drink? That means you don't have what I have because I can't stop. And I went through a lot of sponsors in the beginning too. I was difficult, perhaps. maybe a little combative. I wanted like answers. I used to say that all the time. Like, what is, can we cut the magical, mystical BS? Like, can somebody just tell me, what do I need to do to like manage my drinking? Because that's what I thought. I thought I had trouble controlling it, and I thought I needed help controlling it, managing it. And it was so frustrating that there was this one thing that I couldn't control. You know, I got to the point where I was driving home, you know, like, I would fill my day. I would work all day, I would work after work, and then on my way home, I would say, not tonight, Julia, I'm not gonna drink tonight. And I would say that all day, I'm not gonna drink tonight. And then my car would magically end up in the parking lot of the package store. And I say package store because that's in the East Coast, they call liquor stores package stores. So if you hear me say that, I'm talking about the liquor store. So I remember that feeling. I remember that day, okay, when I was sitting in my car in front of the package store, and I said I was going to go home, but I ended up in this parking lot saying, there was nobody that I told. I didn't tell my girlfriends, I didn't tell my family, there was nobody I said, I'm going to go home and not drink today. It was only myself, but here I am. You know, and I'm saying, you don't need to go in, Julie. You told yourself that you was not going to do it today. What the hell is wrong with you? Why are you sitting here talking to yourself? Why did you even end up here in the first place? And at that point, I realized I was losing my mind. I was going insane. And so, even though I was so off-put by the meetings and the friendliness and the way, you know, people would look at me. And I think if you have any kind of, I don't know, if you've been coming for some time, if you've had the gift of going through the steps, when you see a newcomer, you have hope for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so glad you're here. It is the most sincere thing that you can say to a newcomer, because we really want them to get it. But me being the newcomer coming in and all these people looking at me like, we really want you to get it. It was like, it was so strange. Why are they looking at me like this? Like, you know, I want to look down and they want to look in my eyes. You know what I mean? I wasn't used to that at all. The unconditional love that I got, I wasn't used to it. So I worked the 12 steps, and I have to tell you about the 12 steps. You know, like, we start in the beginning and we admit powerless over alcohol. You know, what that means is I can't drink no matter what. I am part of the I can't drink no matter what club. My sponsor used to say, Julia, if your ass falls off, pick it up and take it to a meeting. You don't drink no matter what. I had to say that to myself so many times. So many times that I wanted to drink, and I said, just make it to tomorrow. All you gotta do is make it to tomorrow. Get your ass to bed. After a while, I started to run through all of the tools. What do I need to do? Pick up the phone. Like, I got to a point where I had no problem saying, I wanna pick up, I wanna pick up. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do to help me not pick up today, you know? It's not very nice. I'm thinking of it now. Like, oh, my God. These women were so patient. Everyone was so patient with me. Everybody really wanted me to get it because I think I was so vocal about my feelings. They knew that I wanted it. There was a willingness. I did have a willingness. I just questioned everything, you know? And step one is the white flag. Let go or be dragged. At some point, you have to wave the white flag and be like, you know what? I'm just going to run with it. Whatever you say. Whatever you say. Don't question it anymore, Julia. Don't just, if they tell me to do it, just do it. Just do it. So step one was that white flag and saying, you know, just let these people guide you, you know? I can't do this by myself. And so step two is not so much suddenly believing that God could help me, but knowing that I could not and somebody else could. You know what I'm saying? It was that simple. I didn't have to really define anything. I can't do it, but these people might be able to help me. You know, so there's that hope that comes after that devastating news of step one. And then when we get to step three, it's like, okay, I can't do it. I found a source of strength, someone that can help me get through this. Now I need to let them help me. I need to let them. I always say, like, step three is like when you're driving and you get to a road closed sign, you know, and you're saying, well, this is the way I wanted to go. This was my route. But it says the route is closed. So, and then, you know, you think, well, this is how I wanted to go, you know, like I planned everything around this particular path. So you're going to get yourself all anxious because you're so determined that this is how you wanted to go. This was your outcome, your path, your journey, your destiny. Meanwhile, there's a roadblock for a reason. Because if you take that road, you know, maybe a landslide, who knows? So like you're being redirected for a reason. Go that way, you know, trust the process. Then we got to step four, where you have to kind of get everything out in the open, shine a flashlight onto all of the things that I was hiding, you know? And like, I'm frank, I have no problem. I have no problem telling people what I've done, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't really understand that that's not what I'm supposed to be sharing. It's not really about what I've done, it's about how I feel. It's about the hole in the soul, right? I heard somebody mention that, the hole in my soul. And my sponsor helped me to get there. Like, by the time we got up to the fifth step, I understood the kind of things I needed to say to her. I understood feelings, you know, like feelings of jealousy. I would never even utter the words that I felt jealous, you know what I mean? And then when I'm telling her how angry I am, she says, Julia, you know what that is, right? That's jealousy. And I'm like, jealousy? Are you kidding me right now? I don't do jealousy, okay? So then to be able to sit with a woman and humble myself and let it go and say, Julia, it's jealousy, it's okay. Take a deep breath, you know? You could be jealous over someone's time, someone's attention, you know? So it was like allowing myself to be teachable. Then we get to step six, and now, you know, they're instincts, not defects. I had to understand that. They're not defects. This is how I survived up until this point. But I'm not in this to survive anymore. I'm not trying to survive. I'm trying to live a life, right? So survival instincts aren't appropriate anymore. Now I need to think about things. And if an instinct pops up, an instinct to control the situation, or an instinct to take charge, and when my pride comes up, right? Now I need to pause, pray, and use spiritual energy. Just take a split second and then reroute. Even if I don't know where I'm supposed to go, I know this is not where I'm supposed to go. Thy will not mine. I'll say that really quick. Thy will not mine, because I know God doesn't want me to lose my stuff right now, right? So thy will not mine is good enough. And then I'll be able to shift my survival instinct into an appropriate response. Which I didn't know I could do that before. I didn't know I had that kind of choice or freedom. And then in step seven, I notice these things about myself and I say, God, I don't want to be this way. Help me, I don't want to be this way. And he helps, he responds. When I feel myself losing my temper, I say, you know, I don't want to be this way. Take it away from me, please. And I have changed over time. You know, change is possible. Then we get to step eight and a list of people that we have harmed. And then you start to realize there are people that you've affected just by being who you are. You know, you carry yourself everywhere. And when you think of it like that, you're like, oh, I have a list. I actually do have a list. And then when you have the courage to go up to these people and say, I am not the person that I used to be. That's what the amend is. Amend is not sorry, it's change. So now I can go to somebody and say, I am not the person that I used to be. So it's not even about sorry, it's about that's not who I am anymore. And you'll never see me engaging in this kind of whatever again. As far as if I can help it. Now I can see my behavior, I can see, you know, my instincts. And then step 10 says, you know, check on yourself every single day, every day. Like, daily maintenance. My sponsees text me their real 10 steps, you know. I text them my 10 steps. I'm in a relationship with somebody who's also an Alcoholics Anonymous, so we 10 step each other all the time. And I love, he's really good at 10-stepping, and I like that. Like, we can stop what we're doing right away and assess and say, am I in fear? You know, we have tools that we can use to live life, you know? It's like, how lucky are we? How blessed? Step 11 is conscious contact with God. Can I tell you, it's a feeling that God is always, not just with me, but like we're together. I can't even explain it. And now I understand why. In the beginning, I used to say, this is all magical, mystical bullshit. Like nobody could give me any real answers and there was a lot of magic going on. What is this? That's why. The reason why it's magical and mystical and there's something going on and you can't put your finger on it is because it is a spiritual experience. At some point you realize you're giving your life back. You're given a whole new opportunity. Not just, you didn't just stop drinking. You were given an entirely new set of lenses to wear in the world. I always say, like, imagine you're at the, optometrist getting glasses, and you know they put the thing where they put the lenses. Every lens that they put in front of your eye is like an AA meeting, or a reading, or a conversation that you had with your sponsor or someone else in the program. Every experience, every time that we wanted to drink and we did not, and you made it one more day, the lens becomes clearer and clearer, and all of a sudden, we will experience a new freedom and a new happiness. So I think I pulled it up, and I this is how I want to close. In the Connecticut meeting, we read this all the time. And here, I feel like I would love to share this. The promises, the 9-step promises on page 83 of the Big Book. They are promises, not possibilities. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them, one day at a time. All right, guys, thank you for letting me know.
Thank you, Leah.